It is truly good once again to be able to gather together with the saints to worship God in spirit and in truth. As we think about the scripture reference from the book of James chapter 4, let us remember that one day this life will be over. We went to a gospel meeting on last week, and Brother Richard Purdy was preaching a message about what do you want, or what will your tombstone, what do you want on your tombstone? And many years ago, I preached a lesson entitled The Dash. And some of you have, may have heard different versions of different men preaching about The Dash. The Dash is something that long ago and still on some today are on people's tombstones or headstones. It's a dash. And I want us to reflect on our lives this morning, because what we're doing right now is we're living the dash. And as we are living the dash, we need to make sure that we're doing it in accordance to God's will and not our own. Not according to what some man has told us, but what we find in the Word. And we're going to look at two people from the Scriptures, the dash in their lives, and then we're going to get to the point of the dash in our own lives. And it's important that we realize that one day that somebody is going to talk about your dash. And as they talk about it, they may say good things. And not just good, but very good things. I recall being with my mom and some people that she had never met before, and one of the ladies that was there, and she said, I bet he was a bad child. And she just very quickly, to my surprise, said, no, he was a very good child. And I guess the reason I was so good was because I took those whippings, those beatings that she gave me in stride, and I learned from them. I guess that's what made me good. But as we think about the dash, and here we start out in the book of Ecclesiastes chapter 3 and the verses 2. I'm just going to read the first part of that verse. There is a time to be born. That's when the dash starts. I know we can go back a little bit further than that, but I just want when you take your first breath in this life. The dash starts then. And as we think about the dash starting then, we can go back and ask, why did you come to be in existence? And one man in particular that I love this story about Hannah praying unto the Lord from the book of 1 Samuel chapter 1. And as she was praying to the Lord, you know, They looked at her, and as they looked at her, just mouthing these words, they assumed that she was drunk. But she wasn't. She was praying to God. And as she was praying to God in 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 10, it says that she prayed for a man child. Not just any old baby, Not a girl, you know, oh, she's so precious. And I've seen, you know, her child over here, a little girl, and I want a little girl myself. But she prayed for a man child, a male. And as she prayed for this male child, she didn't stop with just saying, God, will you give me a child or a male child? But God, I want this child, and not only do I want this child, but I want this child, and as you give him to me, you bless him with me, I am going to give him back to you to serve you. This is my vow. And as we read through some of these things that happened in the dash in Samuel's life, we have to take in consideration that these things happen for a reason. Samuel was born unto Hannah, and as she was born unto him, and the time came for him to be weaned, and he was weaned, and different people have different speculations on what it talks about him being weaned. Was it that now he wasn't, you know, taking milk from his mother, or was it the time when she taught him the basic things of God's word? Different people are saying different things, but I know that there are different times in different parents' life that they wean their children, whether it be the milk or whatever. But at that time, when the child was weaned, was when Hannah took him up to Eli. But let's start in verse 9 in the book of 1 Samuel chapter 1. And let's just read some of what Hannah did and how she continued to live according to what God had given her. It says in 1 Samuel chapter 1 verse 9, so Hannah rose up after they had eaten in Shiloh and after they had drunk. Now Eli the priest sat up on a seat by the post of the temple of the Lord. And she was in bitterness of soul and prayed unto the Lord and wept sore. And we talked a little bit this morning in Bible class about individuals getting emotional. Well, here we find that Hannah was emotional. And she was emotional because she did not have a child. She was barren, but she prayed unto God. And the Bible says that she wept sore. And as she wept sore, it said, and she vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou would indeed look upon my affliction of thine handmaid and remember me and forget not thine handmaid, but will give unto thine handmaid a man child. Then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head. The Nazarite vow. She made this vow for a child that she didn't even have yet. Now, what this shows, and you can go back and you can look at the life of Jesus, what this shows is this shows that this child, when he was born, that he understood his responsibility not just to God, but he understood his responsibility to his parents. She made this vow for him, and he kept that vow. He kept the vow because this is something that his mother had prayed for. He was the one that she had prayed for, and God gave him to her. And she gave him back to the Lord. It says, as we look at it and think about it, going down to verse 22, after the child was weaned, we see, but Hannah went not up, for she said unto her husband, I will not go up until the child be weaned, and then I will bring him that he may appear before the Lord and there abide forever. Forever. And isn't that a great place to be in the presence of the Lord forever while you're living? And if you're in his presence forever while you're living, guess where you're going to be in the end when you die? You're still going to be in his presence. And as you're in his presence while you're living, it shows that as we look at verse 26, now this is a great dash, and we need to understand this because many of us are not living our life to the expectations of God. It says in verse 26, and she said, O my Lord, as thy soul liveth, as my soul liveth, my Lord, I am the woman that stood by thee here praying unto the Lord. I need to go to verse 2. I need to go to chapter 2. I need to go to chapter 2, but let me just stay here just for a moment. In verse 27, it says, in verse chapter 1, for this child I prayed, the Lord had given me my petition, which I asked of him. Therefore also I have lent him to the Lord. As long as he liveth, he shall be lent to the Lord, and he worshiped the Lord there. Worship the Lord there. Then we go and we see in chapter 2, verse 26, what it meant by Samuel worshiping the Lord. What it meant by Samuel keeping the vow that his mother had made. It wasn't just that his mom was proud of him or his dad was proud of him, but we look at what the scripture says to all the people that was around him. And the child Samuel grew on and was in favor, bold with the Lord and also with men. Samuel was the last judge of the children of Israel. And we know that Eli had a couple of more boys, and as he had those children, we understand that those children that Eli had, that they wasn't the best children that a man could ask for. But Samuel, he grew in stature. He grew up and in favor not only with God, but also with man. See, this is a great dash. This is a man that we can go back and look in the scripture and say, now Samuel is someone that I want to use as my hero. Samuel is someone that I want my children to grow up and be like. I want him to serve the Lord all the days of his life. So we go to 1 Samuel chapter 7 and the verse is 15. 1 Samuel chapter 7 and the verse is 15. Because you can go back and look at that last verse, I mean the latter part of that verse in Ecclesiastes chapter 3. Where it's not only a time to be born, but there is a time to die. And the Bible says here, and Samuel judged Israel all the days of his life. All the days of his life. You know, as we think about what Samuel, or going back to Hannah, what Hannah went through, and as God gave her this child, how much it, you know, probably even as she prayed for that child and she wept bitterly, how even when she took that child up, that it still hurt her. Knowing that God gave me this child, he allowed me to raise this child from anywhere from 4 years old to 8 years old, and now I've got to give this child to the Lord. See, there's a separation there from a mother and her child, but she knew that this child was to do what God would be pleased with. And as we think about Samuel being the child that Hannah prayed for, being that prophet, being that judge, being that priest that God was pleased with, we too can do better in our lives and with the dash that we're living. And then we go and we look at the man David. 1 Samuel chapter 13. 1 Samuel chapter 13. The Bible tells us here in 1 Samuel chapter 13, the verse is 14. 1 Samuel 13 and the verse is 14. Am I in the right book here? 1 Samuel 13, 14. And now the kingdom shall not continue. The Lord has sought him a man after his own heart. And the Lord had commanded him to be captain over his people, because thou hast not kept that with the Lord, of which the Lord commanded thee. Who is this man? This man is David. David, not the biggest in his family. Not the one that was entrusted with certain things of his family, but a shepherd of the sheep. a child now tending the sheep. But as he tended those sheep, you know, God had already said, this is the man after mine own heart who I want in order to be king of my people. King of my people. And he was anointed king. We find that in 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 13. You know, this is a great example of a dash in someone's life that didn't always do everything that they were supposed to do in the right manner. But still, God saw something in this man. And this man made something out of himself in order to be pleasing unto God. See, there are times where we will fall short, even though we are in certain positions. But that doesn't mean that we have to stay down. In 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 13. Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him to be the midst of his brethren. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon David, and that day forward, so Samuel rose up and went to Ramah. David, anointed king. David, anointed king. Now, to have a child that is now a king, to see the dash in his life where God has selected this person to lead his people, and he's going to lead his people because he's a man after God's own heart. He's doing what God wants him to do. He's acting the way God wants him to act. And then we go down through the book of 1 Samuel chapter 17 where David is called, you know, in order to go up against Goliath. And if you can go and read that story about David and Goliath, they trying to give David their armor. And David said, I don't need that armor. See, now this is a great dash in this man's life. I know what you have in order to go up against the giant, but I don't need that. I don't need that because I have my sling and I have my stones. And I have God on my side. See, now that's where the rubber meets the road. Or that's where your dash is now, not just in your life, but your dash is flashing and people see that God is with you, because when he go up against Goliath, Goliath tells him he's going to cut his head off. And the same thing that Goliath said he's going to do against David, David did against him. Great dash. I don't want anybody to go and try to cut any man's head off that's bigger than them. But I want you to understand that when you live for God, your enemies will become your footstool. And he was able to conquer Goliath because God was with him. And we need to understand. As we go and look in 2 Samuel chapter 11, how not only did David do the things that God wanted him to do, or God was with him, but there was a time in David's life where David, he wasn't that man that God would have him to be. And that was the time where he looked up on the rooftop next across the way from him, and he saw this lady up there bathing herself, and the things that went through his head. I need her. I must have for her, so I'm going to send for her. And as he sent for her, she came to him, and he slept with her, and she, you know, bore a child for him. David had sinned. Now this is a dash that many times people don't like to talk about when they're preaching someone's funeral, the sin that people commit. But David sinned. And as he sinned, and as she gave birth to that child, you think about what Uriah did, or what David did unto Uriah when he found out that Bathsheba was pregnant, that he sent for Uriah to come, and as he came, he wanted Uriah to go in to sleep with his wife so that he would think that he fathered that child. Uriah, being a real leader of his soldiers, knew that his soldiers was out in the battlefield, and he was not going to go and sleep in the comfort of his own bed, knowing that his soldiers were out sleeping up under the stars. I know some soldiers nowadays, and I knew a soldier back in the day, back in 1986, when he got the opportunity to go home back to the rear. Oh, he went to the rear, and he went and slept in his bed. He didn't care what those other soldiers were doing. That's a little bit of the dash in my life. But Uriah, he said, no, I'm not going to go in. And David, the sin didn't just stop with him sleeping with Bathsheba, but the sin went further. Well, since you don't want to go in and sleep with your wife, I'm going to have you killed. He didn't tell Uriah that, but he sent message for Uriah to be sent to the front line in order to be killed, in order so that Uriah wouldn't have to know what he had done, the sin that he had committed with his wife, Bathsheba. See, that's a sad dash, isn't it? For David to commit such an act, being king of God's people, but God took care of that. God took care of that. But now what I want us to do is I want us to look at the dash in our lives. Look at the dash in our lives. Because I believe in these next categories here, we can see ourselves or we can see someone else. Going to the book of Acts chapter 10. To the book of Acts chapter 10. That we have some people that are good. And that's a good thing, you know, for someone to say, you know, he's a good man. He don't bother anybody, you know, he just mind his own business. And every time I see him, he's always doing good for somebody, but yet he don't bother anybody. That's a good thing, isn't it? When we look at the life of Cornelius, the Bible says in Acts chapter 10, verse 2, a devout man. And one that feared God with all his house, which gave much alms to the people and prayed to God always. It's a very good dash. To have someone, you know, to say, you are a very good person, morally good. But I ask you, if that's your life, that's the dash that you're living, is it enough? Well, if you continue to read, you go down toward verse 44 and verse 44 and following, that was not good enough. Just to be a good person for a long time and think, well, you know, God has a special place for me in heaven because of all the things that I've done. It says in Acts chapter 10, verse 44, while Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all them which heard the word. And they that of the circumcision which believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Then answered Peter, can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized which have received the Holy Ghost as well as we? And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Then prayed they him to tarry certain days. Now, leaving from a good morally person to becoming a person that God is pleased with. That's the dash that we're looking to fulfill. The dash that many people are missing because they think just because I'm good, that everything is okay. In the book of Exodus chapter 9, verse 35, we find as you go through Exodus chapter 9 and you can look at Pharaoh and what Moses went to Pharaoh and tell him the words that God said, let my people go. Now Pharaoh knew good from evil. He knew right from wrong, but he didn't want to change. We got many people today that are living their dash in a fashion. I know what I'm supposed to do, but you can't tell me what to do because you're not the boss of me. I'm going to do my own thing. I don't care about God. I don't care that one day he's going to cast me into the bottom of this pit. I don't care about those things. So I'm going to live my life the way I want to live it, and nothing you say or nothing you do will ever change that fact. So we look in the book of Exodus chapter 9. And the verse is 35. Now, I just picked out one verse. And the heart of Pharaoh was hardened. Neither would he let the children of Israel go as the Lord had spoken by Moses. His heart was hardened. Saying, I don't care about God. Now, we have people like that today that don't care about God. They know what God wants them to do, but yet they don't want to do it. They want to live their dash in rebellion. And that's not what God wants. God wants you to change. He wants you to open up your life. He wants you to open up your heart unto His Word. He wants you to believe in His Word. Be like Cornelius and be baptized. be like many other Christians. As we look in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Be like these people. Be like us, you know, because when we look at 1 Corinthians chapter 6, we can go back and we can look at our lives and we can say, oh yeah, I remember today. I'm not proud. I'm not boasting, but I remember the day where I used to get paid on Friday and I go across the river and I buy me a case of beer and I ride around with one of my friends and we just have a good weekend. I remember those days. None of y'all remember anything like that. Because none of y'all ever done anything like that. Or I get paid on Friday and I go and I get cleaned up and I leave my house and I go to the club on Friday night and I find me a woman and I spend a whole weekend with her. That's the dash that sometimes we need to face. And sometimes we need to say, I need to come away from that way. And I need to live in a manner that's pleasing unto God. So we find here in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 6 in verse 9, because Paul, he holds nothing back. He tells them about the dash in their life. He said, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers themselves with mankind. Nor thieves, nor covetousness, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you. But you are washed, but you are sanctified, but you are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. What a dash. What a dash. You saw where you were living a life of sin. You saw where being a drunkard wasn't what God desired of you. You saw where being a thief wasn't what God desired of you. You saw being covetous wasn't what God desired of you. Or, you know, all those other ways, you know, the effeminate, the homosexuals, even those that had homosexual tendencies, the adulterers, the fornicators, the liars, the revilers, the extortioners. And you turned, or shall I say, we turned our life over to God. We were washed. Now the dash is exciting. The dash is exciting because now we realize that we have something to live for. See, the man that has nothing to live for, he don't care how much he steals. He don't care if he get caught. The man that has nothing to live for, he doesn't care how much he drink. He's trying to find some type of comfort in that bottle. Or a comfort in someone else's arms instead of their spouse's arms. They're trying to find some type of comfort. But being a child of God, we can find comfort. We can live our dash and we can be excited about our dash because we know what the Bible says in James chapter 4. Again, our life is but a vapor. It appeared for a little time and then vanishes away. Our dash is fading. Our dash is fading. And now what we have on many of the headstones is not a dash anymore. It just have the time that they were born and the time that they died. Of course, it has their name up there. But what about the dash? What about the dash? Can we tell it? Or you can go to some where they say, well, we're gonna, my mom died or dad died, and we're gonna get a double headstone, and we're gonna put the other spouse's name up there, but we're gonna leave the death date blank because they haven't died yet. They're still living their dash. They're still living their dash. A lot of people don't like for you to put their name on a headstone, you know, until they die. Then when they die, they really don't know anyway. But the dash needs to be told. We need to understand how some people live. And that's why we have these examples of people in the Bible, because God wants to know how they live. And if they live pleasing to Him, He wants us to realize that, and He wants us to live pleasing to Him as well. But when they sin, He wants us to see what the result of that sin caused, what the outcome was all about. Some died. Some had opportunity to get it right, as we find here in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. He said, and such were some of you. Now, our life, such were some of us. And yet, some of us still are. because we don't think no one know about the dash. We don't think anyone know what we're doing. But God knows. God knows. And in the end, guess what's going to happen? We are going to be judged according to every deed done in this body, whether good or whether bad. We're put here to serve God. We're not here to put here to serve self. We're put here to serve God. That is why he created man in the beginning, you know, to serve him. From every tree of the garden you may eat, but in the tree that's in the midst of the garden, you can't eat it. Don't even touch it. Serving God. But we know that man decided he wanted to serve self. The dash. It changes. It varies. It fluctuates. You know, sometimes it's good, sometimes it's bad, sometimes it's fast, sometimes it's slow. What about your dash? What about your dash? If I don't know, you know. But we know for sure God knows. God knows. If you're here and you're not a Christian, you're not a Christian, your dash means nothing. It means nothing at all. Why do I say it means nothing? Because you are outside the body of Christ. Jesus died for the sins of the world. And as he lived his dash, according to the Father's will. And I believe that's what we need to do today. We need to understand what the Father's will is. The Father's will is that men everywhere might be saved. He's given us, you know, time to repent of our sins, even if we are already saved. He's given us time to repent of our sins, to come back to the fold. But those that are outside the body of Christ, your life means nothing right now. So we're asking you to come, to make the confession that you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Yes. To have your sins washed away in the watery grave. To come out of that watery grave, to walk a newness of life. And as you walk that newness of life, that you are faithful unto death, unto the very end. As Solomon judged God's people all the days of his life, we're asking you to serve God all the days of your life. If you're here and you're a fellow in the way, we're asking you to come back before it's everlasting too late. As we stand and sing the invitation hymn, please come.